I believe that belief is the most important ingredient in our success. When we see it clearly and believe it dearly, we declare a defining moment, an epiphany, if you will. We declare, I can do this. I am doing this. Detailed success stories I know are the best way to build this belief. So I'm on a mission to interview every diamond and above in Young Living worldwide. I'm learning from them the granular details of what they thought then and what they think now. I gathered all their vital statistics on how many people they enrolled year one to the ER rate. Let's dive in and listen.
Hey everybody, Richard Blissbrook here for yet another Road to Diamond interview. And today we have a unique, it's out of form. We're not gonna do it the same way we've done all the other Road to Diamond interviews. We're going to take advantage of the fact that we have Danette Goodyear with us, who's one of the originals. When I asked her what motivated her to build her business in Young Living, she said, well, when I was with Gary in France, and whenever I hear, well, when I was with Gary in France, I know we have a very special Young Living leader that we need to dive into and hear her story. And Danette, you also have an incredible background. You know, you were a marine biologist and a scientist and a naturopath. And tell us about you before Young Living. Who were you? Where were you? And what were you doing with your life?
Yeah, I feel like I've lived many lives and still so young. So thank you, Richard, for having me. Of course, thank you for all your great interviewing skills that bring all of Young Living leaders to the forefront to be able to share our stories. And we just thank you for that. And Kimmy, thank you guys. Yeah. I grew up in California, born and raised on the Central Coast, and grew up quite a natural lifestyle, grew up with carrot juice in my bottle and the whole deal.
Wow. And, yeah. What town?
Lompoc, actually. You know where that is.
I know. Yeah. Well,
yeah. And so just being growing up, you know, taking vitamins and things like that, and always what should appear to be healthy. I also had a very low immune system. I lost my brother when we were kids. He died of leukemia. So I've been an only child most of my life. And so when I went to college at UC San Diego, got a bachelor's in biology, I was recruited out to Oklahoma State for my master's in physiology and marine biology. And so, yeah, so lived in Sweden, did some research there as well. So loved that life, except for it was a very slim living income-wise, right, shall we say, right, for sure.
Scientists so, don't make a lot. There's no seven-figure scientist incomers, I don't think.
That's a true statement. I was offered a job at the Smithsonian Natural History Museum, which is one of my favorite museums in the world. Wow. And when I graduated my master's, and it was worth $33,000 a year. And I'm like, how do you live in D.C.? And how do you even do that, you know? So it was super crazy. So we knew that something had to change somewhere.
So then you also were a naturopath. How did you gravitate to becoming a naturopath?
Yes. Again, that natural part of me just couldn't let go. And so from the animal kingdom, I decided to go with people after that. We moved to Dallas and we thought it was just a year, and that was almost 2 years ago. And so I did what's called electrodermal screening, had a clinic for 14 years doing that with my naturopath degree. And it was, I think, just a year into that when my husband's aunt had said, you ever heard of Young Living? And I'm like, no, I've heard of a lot of different things, but hadn't heard of that. And so that was in the fall of 2002. And in January of 2003, she called and said, hey, Gary Young, the guy that I told you about with the oils, is coming to town like tomorrow night. Can you go? You want to go see him? And I said, sure. So I was late because I had a client till late. I go squealing in there, sitting in the back, and he's sitting there showing these amazing pictures from all over the world of ancient distilleries and different things like that. And I was like, oh man, like the history buff. I married a modern German historian. I loved that part. And then he showed this picture of the organic lavender farm in Provence and said, we now own the only American owned organic lavender farm in France, and we're going to allow distributors, that's what we were called at that point, to go. And so I opened up my planner. I just told this story for my 18-year anniversary almost 2 weeks ago, and opened my planner, and I had a little picture card of a lavender farm in France that I've been carrying around for 5 years. And I wanted to go work on the farm, not just visit one, but I didn't know how that was going to happen. And this man standing up there at the front of this hotel ballroom telling me how I could make that happen.
This cray cray meant to be.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Signed up that night. There were no kids.
So I need to back you up just a little bit. And I'm curious, Danette, what do you think it was about you that, because you didn't know anything about the lavender farm before you went to the meeting, what was it about you that didn't have you say to your aunt, no, I'm not selling anything to my patients. I've heard of all those things. I'm not interested. What had you not be the cynical skeptic? Who were you that you were that open and curious?
That's a great point. Well, I think the more you know, the more you know that you don't know. And so I felt like, well, shoot, I kind of had the same response that Gary had when he was asked about essential oils. Oh, those things that smell kind of good, you know? So I didn't know anything about them to poo-poo them enough. And that's what I always encourage other people when they're asking, well, are you interested? Man, I hate hearing that because they don't know what they're interested in or not. They don't know what they're saying yes or no to, right?
That's a bad question.
Exactly.
Are you interested in building with me in the business? What business?
That's right.
Let me give me some reasons and then I'll tell you if I'm interested or not.
That's right.
So you signed up right then. And how long did it take you to go to France and see the farm?
That was in January. And the ground war in Iraq started in March. And we had this little magazine that came. I don't think I'd ever gotten one before, but I got it. I actually started thumbing through it. I was leaving these messages for this lady who Gary said, contact this lady, and who is now with a copycat company. And why don't you see, you know, about going? And so I opened this little magazine one night and saw this little blurb, like three sentences, that was, if you're interested in going, you need to write why you think you should be chosen and all this kind of stuff, which is not my bailiwick. My husband was on the road working. He worked on the road 5-6 days a week. And it was due that night at midnight. And so I literally faxed him at the hotel because this was still in '03.
Yeah.
And I said, can you read over this thing? And like I emailed it or faxed it or whatever I did. And about 3 weeks before I were to go, they actually called and said, would you like to go? So there were supposed to be about 15 people on 2 weeks, spread across 2 weeks to go. But when that ground war started, things weren't really friendly for Americans in France. And so most people didn't want to go. So I ended up getting to extend my trip. I said, yeah, I lived in Europe, so that wasn't nerve wracking to me to go and get caught and all the things that happened. Yeah. But we landed and got to spend 10 days with Gary, and we'd work in the farms in the fields, you know, pulling rocks up and all stuff. And then we planted the lavender, and each night we would make dinner together. And then he would teach us like till midnight every night. And not only were we working, he was working circles around all of us, plus taking care of all the things, you know, and back home. So, but he was sharing things with us in what I call the upper room of that little chateau that I was thinking, but right. He was telling us things that it was blowing my mind. And so I got home after that and said, there is no way I can't share this with people. Like, I now know too much.
Yep. What did you learn from Gary in those 10 days about Feed the Seal, his vision for quality, his vision for having the best and managing the end performance of the product, starting at the beginning of the process, which is represented by him buying the farm and being there working the farm for 10 days. What did you learn about all that?
That's a great question, Richard. I have this story that I'll never forget happening because we're working in the fields and we're learning each other, you know, and I see this car drive up and they're a ways away. And we see this guy come out and he goes and gets Gary. And I think Jean-Noël actually went and got Gary, and Gary left what he was doing and went over and spoke to this guy. And we could hear that voices were raised. And it wasn't a long conversation. The guy got back in the car and left. So that night we're like, what was that about? What was that? And he was a supplier that heard Gary was in Europe, was in France. And I want to say, if I got this correct, if I remember correctly, that he was from Bulgaria. He was one of our rose farmers and had tried to pass off something to Gary that was not acceptable at some point. And so Gary, when that happened, Gary was like, end of it. Not ever happen again. Can't trust you. You get one chance. Right. And so that guy like flew from Bulgaria to the south of France to one-on-one to try and beg Gary to take him back. And Gary was like, ain't happening. And so right there, I was like, wow. Like, there's probably not a ton of great rose people. And I don't know that this guy was or wasn't. Obviously wasn't good enough for us. But that right there showed me, A, Gary's so serious about this, like nothing gets past him. Even people that know the business and know how to manipulate things can't get anything past him. Secondly, he believes so strongly in the product that he is putting in a bottle for us to use in all the different ways that it has to be the purest. And so that spoke volumes to me more than, you know, any Seed to Seal lecture I could have heard.
Yeah. And this kind of storytelling, Danette, is so important and so valuable, because as the generations get away from having that personal connection with Gary's vision, the message and the integrity of the message tends to get diluted. It tends to fall on marketing, you know, and marketing is, you know, Seed to Seal marketing, or our oils are the best, or, you know, that kind of stuff. It's pretty flat compared to listening to your personal testimony about witnessing an event that demonstrated his vision and his integrity with that vision. That story right there, that needs to be told. That needs to be heard over and over and over again. You got another one or anything else you learned?
Well,
10 days is a long time. You learned a lot.
I learned it a ton. And again, like I said, when I left there, I thought, like, my life has changed. Like, I can't go back to not unknowing and unseeing and unhearing what I have witnessed and seen and heard. So he also gave me my first raindrop.
Wow.
I had no idea what a raindrop was. And so when you said the intuition of Gary, he had developed not only great his nose, what they call in France in the perfume industry, the nose, right? He developed that. He developed so much personal development for decades and decades. But, you know, part of that was a God-given, you know, drive and gifts for sure. But as he gave me the first raindrop, you start with Valor on the hands and right hand to right foot, left to left. And he didn't know anything about my background at all. And so it was just the five of us in this little room. He's doing it after we'd worked all day. And he's holding there and you're waiting for the nerve pulses and things to be nice and steady on both sides. So he says after about 2 minutes, you know, and I'm under this sheet and I'm kind of looking around like, what's going on here? And he says, so when did you break your back? And I said, in seventh grade. He said, how many places? I said, six. And I thought, you know, there are questions that you can ask about anybody. And 85% of the time, they're going to have had, you know, that type of experience. And that is not one of them.
No,
and so not. I thought, holy smokes, what how in the world did he just get that from putting this purple oil on his hands and holding my feet? And then I had a bad twitch that I had a massage therapist work on it. I mean, for years, but the testing I did was, you know, hanging over a table, working on people. And before that, a ton of studying and hanging over dead animals, teaching anatomy at the veterinary college. And so all the things. So I had this nerve thing going on and it would twitch if you touched it. So during the raindrop, he touches it and it starts twitching. He's like, oh, we got to take care of that. I'm like, yeah, my massage therapist. Da, da, da. So he gets in there. I literally thought, I am going to pass out. I have no more breath in my lungs. He is not letting up on this thing. He released that thing. And it was 10 years before I had any twitching again on it. And I got home, my massage therapist said, where'd your twitch go? And I said, well, I left it in France. Gary took care of that. But his hands and what he developed with the raindrop technique is so powerful. So just even doing it on yourself, getting the kit and watching him lead you through that, or now Tamara doing that, is phenomenal for our wellness. So I highly encourage everybody to either find a friend or family member that you can give them each to and continue that great legacy that he also left us.
Kimmy gave me one, pretty remarkable. He really did have extraordinary intuition and followed it. So did he say anything in that 10 days, Danette, about building a sales team?
You know, most of my 18 years with Young Living, we've had very little business training. And that is just true. But he knew the power of the oils. And when you spoke about that, like, how can people not use them, right? Because of an experience. And I found that to be true, of course. We didn't go into comp plan stuff or anything like that. But boy, I could just feel it coming out of him. And he's just like, okay, so when you're talking to somebody, I'm not sure we use the word sharing so much at that point, but when you're talking to somebody and getting ready to enroll them, you know, he's just like,
yeah,
help them have an experience. And, you know, you have a product user for life. So that's,
it's a fascinating contradiction in the culture of Young Living that so many people who love the products and are great ambassadors for the products don't really consider that building a sales team is called for in Young Living. It's kind of like, oh, yeah, those people. But the true Young Living ambassadors, we're just all about the product. And when I'm coaching somebody that kind of gives me that kind of feedback, I ask them, I said, most of them have never been with Gary. I said, but you know, how long do you think you could walk down a path with Gary? How many minutes do you think you could walk down a path with Gary? If you went to a farm, like you go as a silver or gold or something, before he asks you, what are you going to do this year, right? When are you going to rank up? What are you building? How long do you think you could walk with him? Because I don't think you could walk with him very long. And it's interesting the way you language it, Danette, that for him, it was just so assumed and automatic. This is what we're doing. How are we going to get oils in every home unless people build an organization, build a network? Yes, almost all of them are customers, but the only way we get customers is people like you, people like me, people like Kimmy, people like thousands of others that came way before us. The option of taking it beyond, hey, here's a product that changed my life, to here's what we're going to do with it. So tell us about that part, because your team is so big. I can't even ask you how big it is.
Yes, thank you. thanks for respecting that. So,
how do you do that?
Well,
what's your secret sauce for building? And think the part I want to know about, Danette, is okay, you come home from France. How did you get to silver?
Yeah, how'd it took. Yeah, I think I came home and enrolled. I mean, my parents have always been huge supporters, and my mom was like, man, if you think it's good, sign me up. So she has an enormous, that's my huge mermaid leg or thunder thigh, is under my folks. And let me just say, as an only child, how grateful I am for that. They literally live off of their Young Living silver check. And it's wow. Ginormous leg that they have there. And I still work, you know, in other parts of there. I worked for years in that leg, right? That love now it. They're so amazing leaders, all under April Pointer there. And love and appreciate that. And the beauty of having a huge leg like that is we don't worry about OGV, right? It's the leg you're working.
You got that covered. But, check that box.
Yeah, right. So Gary was always very, when are you going to hit that next rank? Why aren't you RCP yet? And part of my story is I had my clinic for 14 years. So I worked my business part-time that entire time. And do you want me to tell any of that part?
Sure.
That interesting? Yeah. Oh, well, I want to say that it's encouraging, because when I hear people say, I don't have time, oh, by the way, I have another job or whatever, I get it. And it took me 11 years to hit diamond. It was, I want to say 07 was my silver retreat. So it was three to 4 years in there to hit silver. Yeah, and hitting silver.
This is so rich, okay? Yeah. Because... your team is so big that we're not even going to talk about how big it is. And yet it took you 4 years to get to silver. So the people that watch these interviews, Danette, I know you know this, but I'm speaking to those of you that are watching it. I mean, 99% of the people that watch these interviews are stars, senior stars, executives, you know, people like trying to figure out, is this worth it? Can I do it? Will it work? What happens if I do the work? Will it pay off? And listen to this woman's story. 4 years to silver?
And what I've been through a lot of comp plans.
What were you doing?
I think silver at that point was really about the amount of work I think as platinum is today. It was totally different. It wasn't OGV and legs, but it was, you actually had to have executives in certain places, you know, to achieve silver and different things like that.
Highly structured.
Yeah. Yes, okay. Right.
So how long did it take you to get to diamond?
11 years from sign up. Yeah.
So folks, think about that.
11 and a half.
We're talking to one of the most successful leaders in Young Living worldwide in the history of the company. She gave a clue away a minute ago when she said April Pointer was on her team. That's funny.
love that April.
Yes, of course you do. So, hey, whatever your struggle is, folks, it's worth it. And so just stay after it. It's worth it. It might take 5 years. It might take 7 years. It might take 10 years, but those years are going to come anyway. They're going to come and go anyway, right? So you can either end up a Royal Crown Diamond 10 years from now, or you can end up 10 years from now, not.
Exactly. That's what I always tell people. If I wasn't doing this, I knew that my lifespan in my current, I wouldn't say yes, job, but I mean, I was self-employed, but I was working hard and my body couldn't keep up with sitting in a chair hanging over for 15 hours a day and all the things. And so I knew my lifespan had a limit there. And so as I was sharing the oils, I just knew that this was something that could mean freedom for me. And so a huge blessing for that to happen. So Jim, my husband, refers to me as the 11-year overnight success story, right? So, because we always think, oh, the unicorn, you got it in 2014. Therefore, you know, you made it to Diamond in 2.5 years, because that's quite a few stories on my team, actually. And that is awesome. And one thing I love about our comp plan in network marketing is that anyone out below you can outrank you. You can outrank anyone until you hit the top, of course, in your upline. So it's a huge benefit to be able to do that, right?
Anybody can out-earn you too. But no matter who's on your team, the more people that are on your team, the higher the potential that there's going to be on your people on your team that are better than you. They're better promoters, they're better leaders, they're better builders, and you get to capture all of that. And your team is a great example of that. I mean, you have some absolute miraculous business builders on your team. I'm curious, Danette, in your career in that 9 years, that this was network marketing or MLM or whatever you call it. And did you ever like change your relationship with the model and promoting that Young Living was actually an MLM network marketing company versus always just promoting the product? Did you ever have a shift? And if you did, what caused it?
Yes, I don't think there was a specific time that I thought the relationships changed, but I do remember that Gary said network marketing, which I'm sure you have said this too, is the best personal development program disguised as a business. I was like, wow, so you know, that's what's happening. I mean, I was groomed to be a researcher, not a leader, right? And definitely not a business person. I didn't know anything about business. So because of my background, and still is kind of the science and the research and the product that really interests me, not really the business part, I had stinking had to figure it out, right? For my members, and still figuring it out in this changing marketplace. So what a blessing to be able to sponsor people that sponsor people and sponsor people and sponsor people that love those things. And I can do my job, what I'm good at, and they can help that. I mean, the teamwork, what a huge blessing. I mean, my upline, Nancy and the now living in heaven, Eldon Niddle, who started with Gary before Gary met Mary forever ago. And so what a blessing to be able to learn from them, their experience, you know, when they were handwriting labels on things and you got a bottle and you didn't know if it was Comfortone or Multigreens that just came to you until you actually broke the seal. Amazing kind of background with that. But then to have leaders now that dig in for their families, for their kids, for their communities. I'm very big on, and I always remember Gary and Mary both saying, money in the hands of good people do good things, right? And so I always had a heart to give more. Like when we were in grad school, I legit had $60 in the bank, right? So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna give 10%, right? And so I went to our church that was running a food bank, right? And I'm like, well, $6 can buy some food for somebody. When you're faithful with little, God's going to give you, more as you grow in that. So that part of the personal development, I always want to be able to encourage people to be not just to get more stuff, right? But to do great things with that. So where are you going to volunteer in your community? Where are you going to serve people? We serve people as leaders in this business, but where else can you serve? So we are blessed to be on the Young Living Foundation board and enjoy our time with that. And remember when Gary created that now 11-ish years ago, and what a blessing to be able to keep moving that forward, because what an opportunity and what a model Gary and Mary both have done for us with network marketing, that you can out earn anybody and you can out give anybody. So yeah. When you're excited about giving, then you get to give. So when people are like, I wish I could give that much, I'm like, well, then you better go make more. So start with where you are and then go out and make more, and you have more to give. That's the beauty of network marketing for me.
It's the perfect solution to people that find that they're making more money than they ever thought they would, and they kind of tend to lose their passion and their fire and their vision. And so they get kind of comfortable with their income and Young Living. And the way to shake that up immediately is, hey, you know, if you're just all about you and your house and your car and your clothes and your whatevers, you can't earn too much money. But if you take on a cause in life to help other people, you can't ever earn too much money. You can earn $1 million. You can earn $1 million a month and give it all to the cause. It's not even gonna, it'll make a difference, but it's not gonna solve the problem. Any cause you take on is, it becomes bigger than you and I. And that's what allows leaders. If you ever look at like leaders like you, Danette, folks, and you know, I can think of a lot of other leaders in Young Living that they earn a lot of money because they have a cause that motivates them to donate, to share, to give a lot of money. And because they know the sky's the limit there. And if your goals are all about you, you're going to max out quick. If your goals are about other people, sky's the limit. You can go forever.
Exactly.
Couple of philosophical questions, Danette. What is the biggest mistake that you've ever made in building Young Living? Maybe you made it one time. Maybe it was a bad habit. Maybe it was strategic. Maybe it was philosophical. Anything come to mind?
I'm not sure it is totally bad. I know in enrollers, when the comp plans were different, you got zero for enrolling someone. So my overall enrollership, I think over these 18 years, somewhere between 80 and 100, just under 100, I think somewhere, which is not that much because I gave almost all of my enrollerships away. The only ones I've kept are ones that I, you know, have been like from high school or something like that. And so they know nobody else. And so they need that connection with me, but then I sponsor them under somebody else. Whereas now enrollership means different things. And I know a lot of leaders don't agree with that, but it is what it is. So maybe you don't win the enrollership cruises or something like that. But I do find that that is an encouraging way for somebody to start getting a paycheck and hopefully, you know, catch the good bug. So I'm not sure that's a full mistake, but I've worked really hard at duplication over the years. And I, being a naturopath and whatever, I was always wary of walking into a living room and saying, oh, Danette's, you know, this naturopath and she's all this, because I'm like, I do not want to be that person in the room. You just basically told everybody that it's taken all my background to be here to do this. Right. So my duplication has been, don't even talk about that, please. But I'm going to read from the script, not because I don't know about the 12 oils and the kit, but because I want you to look at that and say, well, shoot, you just read from that script. I could do that.
Right.
So duplication's always been hugely important to me. And part of that was because I was working part-time. And so while I was with clients all day and inventory and all the things that come with your own other business, people were out there, homeschool moms, all the things, having classes and all. And so that duplication had to happen for me. So One thing we, and if this is important, but I was one of the only people kind of in my group for many years that either went to convention or would go and hear Gary in Detroit or something like that, would come home with a bunch of notes. So I would schedule some evening and invite my members to come hear, you know, what I'd learned about enzymes from Gary in Detroit. And it developed into a monthly class, and I wanted to keep it free for people. So the manager of my office building gave me the key to an empty office suite, and it was a BYOC deal, bring your own chair, and people would bring their own chair. I wasn't gonna do a slideshow because most people don't have slide projectors to do. I wanted everything to be super duplicable. And then we grew to 100 people, you know, at the library, and then 250 to 400 people. I opened it up to not just my team in the Dallas area. So we did that for 10 years and just stopped in October of 2019 when so many things started going online, not knowing 2020 was coming, of course. But that part really became for me in terms of the duplication and the leadership. Yes, it's about getting education to our members and having them have a place to come each month and, you know, just fellowship together and be around like-minded people and to bring their people to. But I wanted it to be a monthly opportunity. At first, I was doing all the teaching, so I was the only one going to anything, right? But then it was really about me building leaders to do that. I wanted them to step up and teach to bigger than a living room, to create a presentation for me to be able to edify them in front of all these other people, as well as their team, to have them be able to focus on a product line or a topic or a business topic that was really important to them. And so some of them like developed, like they're this person, like, oh, that's the, you know, baby leader, right, or whatever. Right. Yeah. And then of course I paid to have it videotaped and all, so that they could now have a videotape that they could watch for their own development, as well as send out to their team. So I really wanted to be investing in building leaders that way. And yeah, it was a phenomenal part of our history here locally.
That answers the second question. What's the smartest thing you did? And create duplication in leadership, keep it simple, give leaders opportunities to step in and grow up and step up and find their own journey and their own expertise, and you become the wing beneath their wings. Great lessons, all of you listening, for, you know, whatever your edge is, whatever your unique strategy is, just keep in mind that the most important thing is to create duplication. And the way you create duplication is to empower other people to feel like duplicating. And if you're so smart, you're so expert, you're so fancy, you're so successful in your niche that they can't see themselves doing it, and you don't give them any other way to do it, then they don't feel like duplicating.
That's right.
Duplication is how network marketing works, and it's what gives it its power. That's brilliant stuff, Danette. Thank you so much for sharing it.
Well, I learned that from Gary for sure, right? He never walked into a room and he's like, I'm all that. Like, he's like, let me show you what I just learned, what we just discovered. And you get to be a part of that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he understood humility, yeah, and empathy. So next question, as we maybe bring this to a crescendo. You've been doing this now for 18 years?
Yes.
What are you doing now? What's the future of Young Living look like to you? What are you building? What's your role in Young Living now?
Well, I think part of it is still the same because my legs aren't there, right? So I'm still stinking working in those same places with different people. And I'm always surprised, you know, when you see a silver, like, just quit, I'm like, oh, you didn't need $2,000 a month. Okay. I mean, like, that kind of stuff to me, like,
crazy.
I don't understand still. So I was it Big Al? Someone said that until you have back-to-back diamonds in a leg, he didn't consider a leg to be solid, right? Because the possibility for both diamonds going stupid at the same time was pretty rare.
Right.
So I've always, ever since I heard that, like, that is a goal of mine in every leg for sure. And I have such amazing people and more are coming in. So, you know, anytime I hear, well, DFW, well, of course, yeah, we have a ton of members in the DFW area and they're not, you know, all on my team. Deborah Rayburn has a huge team and leaders up here as well. And does every person on your block, every person on your kid's soccer field, do they all use Young Living? Because if they do, maybe we can talk about saturation, but that's not really the case. So
most people also consider saturation when people they talk to have heard of Young Living. So, oh, I went out and talked to 10 people and, you know, okay, two of them have heard about Young Living. So, oh, everybody's already heard about it. What they don't realize is almost everybody who's going to join needs to hear about it 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times before they join. So when you hear in your market that people are hearing about it, that's you're on the front end of what could be an explosion if you take advantage of the fact that people have heard about it. You know, there's this misconception that you had an advantage, Danette, because you were in when nobody ever heard of Young Living. Well, also nobody ever heard of essential oils and nobody ever, you were like talking Chinese to people, right? They had like, why would I even be interested in that? Doesn't make any sense. Yeah. I mean, stuff that smells good.
I'd spend 30 minutes in a class telling them what an essential oil was, right?
Yeah, right. And that's not an advantage. It's an advantage when the marketplace has been well prepared, when the field has been well prepared, which the more people in your market that know about Young Living, the better. And we're like 100 years away from too many people in a market being in Young Living. All right, so you're building.
Feel part of my strengths, shall we say, in terms of being part of Young Living, whether it's Team Young Living or my own team, is exactly what you've wanted to draw out today, was the Gary part, right? Because we are so unique as a company, whereas no other company in our market space has what we have and or had, right?
Yeah, they're so, just a business. They're not a movement.
Totally agree. So that is definitely part of where I see myself now. And really about three or four years ago, I never considered myself that. When I came on, the average member in Young Living was a 55-year-old female. And now that demographic has totally changed, as you know, which is phenomenal. And the growth is so great in so many generations in just in our world. So it's amazing to see what Gary's vision has produced, right, through all of us. So, so I take that very seriously. And so when someone says, hey, we want to hear about some of the history of Young Living that, you know, you're around for, because I mean, we've been around 26 going on 27 years. And I've only been around for 18, so not totally OG, but.
Right. You know. Yeah, you and others in your category, Danette, are so rare and so special. They national Young Living treasures, and your experiences need to be handed down. They need to be shared with the people that never had that experience, because it really is the essence of Gary and his vision and his integrity around that vision that is the unique selling proposition of Young Living. Yes, we can say our products are the best, but that's a debate that doesn't go anywhere with other people. The part, as you said, that nobody else has. Nobody else has the legacy. Nobody else has the fact that, you know, Gary created this industry. He created this marketplace, and he didn't do it with just, I'm going to create a big business and sell oils to everybody. The heart and soul of it is his education and his discoveries and his passion for attention to detail and creating products that, although we can't say everything that we think they do or believe they do, he certainly formulated them to be really potent and powerful products. And that essence is a national treasure. Your experiences, your stories, they need to be captured. They need to be handed down. I applaud you for hanging on to that part and sharing it with people, because, you know, 10, 20, 30 years from now, that's what's going to make us different, is how much of Gary's legacy do we keep alive?
So true.
So yeah. My last question for you, Danette. I am a star, and I am a struggling star. And most of the people that I talk to, well, they won't even return my messages. And the ones that do say no. And the ones that I have enrolled have quit. And the reason I'm describing that demographic is because that's most of the people, maybe higher ranks, but the essence of that is most of the people watching this interview, most of the people in Young Living love the products. They're phenomenal customers. They're great educators. They may want to build a team, but they're struggling to find traction, momentum in doing that. I'm one of those people, and I'm vulnerable because there's a lot of reasons to quit. What would you tell me? If you were the last person, Danette Goodyear, that I am ever going to hear that's going to make or break my career, what would you tell me?
Job one for me is being a product of the product. And when that is, I'm on the tennis court, or I am, you know, out in public somewhere, walking down an aisle, shopping or something like that, A, you're going to smell me. B, if I'm going to use a product, whether now, thankfully, makeup or anything like that, these hand purifier, anything like that, it is always going to be Young Living. You're never going to see me pull Purell out of my pocket. You are never going to walk in my house and be using some antibacterial hand soap. It comes down to that. And I believe that when you, the belief has to be strong. The belief comes with using our products, period. And so when you're doing that, you must have to go outside of your warm market if your warm market saying no. Because first off, I really feel like it's an education piece. Because like we had talked about, they don't know what they're saying no to. When I say, hey, are you interested in doing Young Living with me? A, I don't know what doing Young Living even means. And interested in what? Time away from my family or things I want to do? I don't even know what that means.
Right.
So I never want to ask that. But hey, do you want to get some chemicals out of your house? I'm finding this is really helping our health.
Right.
I mean, if you say no to that, like it's time to move on. Anyway,
right. Yeah.
So yeah. I really feel that being a product of the product is job one for their belief and for their commitment level. And that's also how you kind of glean the Gary part of these great products that are effective and completely clean, that we can get good things not only out of our house, but also into our bodies. So I believe that's job one.
Yeah, good. Love it. Great advice. Jeanette Goodyear, you're a Young Living National Treasure. I just certified you as such. So we'll send you an emblem for your website and your social media.
You're so funny. Thank you, Richard, though.
You're a delight. And I look forward to a long journey with you. Those of you out there in listening and watching land, you can't watch this interview too many times. I promise you, if you watch it again, you'll hear Jeanette Goodyear say nuggets of gold you didn't hear the first time. If you listen to it a third time, I promise you, you'll hear even more. And if you share it with your team, that could create some duplication. And that is the purpose of Road to Diamond interviews, is to just give all of you some path for developing more belief and more faith and more clarity about what's possible for you, because we believe that the work is worth it. Thank you so much.
It is worth it. It is worth it. No matter how long it takes, it is worth it. I promise you. Thank you, Richard. Appreciate you so much.
Yeah, I appreciate you too. Thanks for joining us. See you all next time at Road to Diamond.
Thanks for listening. I trust you got some golden nuggets. If you're inspired sufficiently, I invite you to join me for Run Through Rank. Run Through Rank is a coaching program designed to have you blow through your next rank with never having to worry about requalifying. We come together twice a week for an hour for 60 days. You'll end up with 16 to 20 hours of custom video content you can study forever. This could be the best investment you ever make. Check it out at runthroughrank.com. That's runthruRank.com. We'll see you there.